Totness Talks.
Good morning, Lila.
Good morning.
I'm running the Respect Festival at Leechwell Gardens, and I'm interested in collecting stories from around Totness. So, how long have you lived in Totness, Lila?
We came in 2018, so it's been 8 years now.
Right. And, where did you move from?
So we moved from Elephant and Castle in the centre of London on one of the busiest roundabouts in Europe, with sort of 28 bus routes right outside our door. We're in a tower block, was on the 10th floor, top of our building.
Yeah.
Looking out on the metropolis.
I know it well.
And, yeah, I'd only ever lived in a metropolis.
Yeah. And so, what made you move to Totness?
So that was my husband, Richard.
Yeah.
Who's had family in Totness. His grandfather went to Keswick's when it was the grammar school.
All right.
And his grandfather cycled in from near South Brent, somewhere on that road.
Yeah.
So that he could go to that grammar school. So he has links here. His grandmother lived here in her retirement. Yeah. And so all of his childhood happiest memories were of that old Totness, of the carnival and dressing up and being happy here. So he wanted to leave London. He sort of got this burn inside of him that it was the wrong place at the wrong time, because we just lost the Brexit vote. So it just, and he just felt that the world was turning and that he needed to be somewhere safer. So he dragged us out, and he dragged me out kicking and screaming. I didn't want to come here.
And how did you find it when you first moved here?
It was October.
Yeah.
It was grey.
Yeah.
And I felt really lonely, because being in London, I was surrounded by people that looked like me, felt like me, and there was every kind of other person as well to be interesting. And I had my family, I was really close to my parents, I was really close to my cousins, I had so many friends.
Yeah.
So people said London was a big anonymous place, but it didn't feel like that at all to me. I knew people everywhere.
Yeah.
And I had access to the world, because we lived in Elephant, which meant the National Gallery was 10 minutes on the bus.
Yeah.
The Tate was 10 minutes. And I went to those places, I was members of those places, and I used them with the children. They had great children's services.
Yeah.
And suddenly we were here, and I was taking Zoya to school, and I did get a job at the school very quickly, and that helped give me purpose, but it took me a long time to not feel lonely.
In the 7 years that you've lived here, do you think the town has changed at all?
I think I've got to know a lot more people, and a lot more people in different groups.
Yeah.
So I think there's one thing, is that the longer I spend here, the more people from outside I meet.
Yes.
So the more kind of, I felt like the blow-in, but there are people blowing in all the time, and they don't seem to be blowing away. They just kind of, there seem to be more and more people coming in. Also, the worlds I'm inhabiting are slightly different.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm seeing new sides, but I am seeing, you know, when we came here, we chose Totness out of London. Part of Richard's reasoning was, you can be in a town, but you can still be in a town where people see the world. It's got a multicultural mindset.
Yeah.
And I think maybe just in the last 3 years, since I can't remember that first set of riots, which were maybe 3 years ago, based on the Stockport ones.
Yeah.
I've seen a strip of the town, which I'd only ever seen in Paignton and Torquay, of slight bigoted racism, fascism, those kind of reform. I can see a vein through the town of that, which I couldn't see.
Well, it's probably more visible to you than it is to other people, because you you have grown up in a different culture, haven't you?
Yeah, so absolutely.
You were just telling me that your parents, and I don't know if you are Zarathustrians.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, that's a pretty small religion in the world. And you were just telling me, I said, well, you must be the only people in Totnes that are Zarathustrians, but you're not, are you?
So we're Parsis, which is our race, and then Zarathustrians is our religion.
Yeah.
But I spotted another Parsi. Now, it's easy to spot us. You know, we can spot each other from our names sometimes.
Yeah.
So when I joined the allotment, I saw a Farad Dalal on the allotment register, and I was like, well, that's a Parsi, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Because of the combination of names.
Yeah.
And so, no, we're not the only ones, but it's a very, there's only 80,000 of us in the world.
I know this, but one of the most famous was
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, Freddie Mercury. So, can you, a little bit, I mean, being Zarathustrian, being Parsi.
Yeah.
Were there kind of characteristic things in your childhood that are slightly different to, say, Richard's kind of childhood in Totnes?
I think it's hard to separate sort of Indian culture from particular Parsi culture.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a sense of family, community, and welcoming that is different from Richard's family.
Yeah.
And feeding, that's definitely different from Richard's family.
In what way? Because I know feeding from my own culture is different, and the way people speak to each other around a table is very different from my wife's family, who were...
So a lot of our conversation is about food.
Yeah.
And a lot of our conversation will be about what people ate where and how it was prepared. And people, when they come to our house, I feel like an obligation to feed them. And also, one thing that we've really struggled with is how much food is on the table. Because in my culture, like, the idea that we'd run out of food on the table is just like when you have guests would be terrible. Or that anybody wouldn't have a full plate. There's got to be a full table.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we struggled with when we came to Totnes is we'd invite people for dinner and they'd be sort of a bit shocked at how much preparation I'd put in and how much food I'd put on the table. Not because they thought we were wasting it, because nothing's wasted, but they felt, we then didn't get invited back because they felt embarrassed. Like, they said, oh no, you know, you cook so well, or you cook so much. And then they didn't want to invite us back. And Richard's like, you've just got to stop this, Lila, because you're scaring everyone off.
Yeah.
People will come to your house for dinner and then they're not inviting us back.
Are there stories about that in Parsi culture or anything about kind of feeding or hospitality?
Do you know, that is one of the things you're asking about stories making me think I need to collect more from my parents, because the only story I know about feeding is actually not really from my culture, although it is from my family culture, is Rudyard Kipling. He wrote the Just So stories, and the last Just So story is The Butterfly That Stamped, which is my favourite one.
Yeah.
And it begins with a prince wanting to show off by cooking a big meal. And he wants to prove that he's the greatest prince ever. So he cooks the biggest meal. I think his name's Suleiman bin Dawood. He cooks the biggest meal possible and invites all the creatures of the planet. And then one creature comes up from the sea and eats it all in one mouthful and goes, is that it? This is all we have. You know, is that all you have? Yeah. We eat this, you know, that's a snack.
Yeah.
And he's so embarrassed, and he realises he was doing it out of pride. And I, you know, that's a story I had as a very small child. I don't cook all that food. And that's the mistake, I think, that Richard's seeing, that I'm cooking all this food out of pride. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just cooking all this. This is how I would do it.
Yeah. I get that.
And I think there's this misunderstanding between the two cultures of how much you're giving and why you're giving it. It's like, no, I'm enjoying cooking this food. I want to share it with you. I'm not Suleiman bin Dawood. I'm not putting it on as a pride show.
Yeah, I understand. I understand about hosting and hospitality too, because from my culture, it's a big deal too. So... Well, are there any other stories that can, I mean, there is a story, is there a story that strikes you from either kind of living in London or coming to Totnes that's a personal story, or is there a story apart from the butterfly story, which is a great tale? I mean, the Just So stories are brilliant.
Yeah, they are. And I actually felt a very strong link to it, because there's a Parsi in that, in one of the stories.
Yeah, which story?
It's in the how the rhinoceros got his skin.
Oh, right.
And it says, them who eats cakes that the Parsi man bakes makes terrible mistakes. Which isn't, you know, he's a clever, he says that,
yeah,
because he's punishing the rhinoceros for eating his cake.
The Parsi, yeah, and the Zarathustrians, although, I mean, you're in Totnes now.
Yeah.
But where's the traditional areas in the world that...
So it's originally a Middle Eastern religion, sort of Mesopotamia, Iran, Iraq.
Yeah.
And it was an empire at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the main religion of an empire. But then with the growth of Islam... in the 7th century, I think it was, or whenever Islam, maybe 13th.
Yeah.
13th century, then that became the dominant religion, and Parsis either converted.
Yeah.
So racially, there's still people there that were Zoroastrians, but Parsis made a choice at that point, and they left Iran, so yeah, they were mostly the ones living in Iran.
Yeah.
And fled across the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
And landed in Gujarat in India.
Yeah.
And so this is where this 80,000 people come from.
Right.
So this is the then Iranians.
Yeah.
Persians that came across the river. And so that's where they got the name Parsi, people from Persia.
Right.
Came with the religion.
Yeah.
And this is a story that, you know, so we're a culture that have emigrated. We're a culture of not living in your own country. Arrived in Gujarat, and this is a story I was told a lot as a child, where you arrived in Gujarat and the Maharaja of the area had all these people on boats, refugees, yeah, and said that, you know, there really isn't room for you. We can't add you to our culture, but brought them some milk, said, you know, be on your way, but, you know, here, we'll help you out for now. So took them some milk, and the Parsis had brought lots of things with them. So out of the boats took sugar, which they brought, put the sugar into the milk, and said, we will not add to your load, we will only sweeten it. And it was that message that meant they could stay. And the Maharaja of Gujarat was so touched by the message, he let them stay with five conditions. You can be part of our culture, but here are your five conditions.
Can you remember those?
Let's see now.
Or any of them.
So you cannot convert. So Parsis don't go around converting any other Indians, yeah, which is why only 80,000. You must dress as we dress. Yeah. So wear saris.
Yeah.
You must speak Gujarati. So right, leave the language behind. I'm missing one, because the one is marry after sunset.
Right.
So don't let your culture, you know, be too visible. Keep it to yourselves, I think, is that message, really. But marrying after sunset.
Yeah.
And I think the last one was don't eat beef. I'm not sure. They definitely didn't keep to that one. But yeah, I think it was don't eat beef.
You know? Okay. That's a great story.
It is a great story.
And really relevant. I mean, that's an amazing thing of how relevant old stories are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those Parsis really took that on, is like, don't push your culture forward. Keep it to yourselves. Fit in. And I think that's a message that really my parents brought to this country, and that even I have absorbed, you know, fit in. Have your own culture, but keep it to yourself, but fit in, you know. Don't put your head up too high. But, you know, add value. The main tenets of the religion, which were said to me, you know, daily, good thoughts, good words, good deeds. You know, and actually that, you know, I do think about that. Make a positive impact on your community, make a positive impact. But I think good thoughts is probably the hardest one now to have, I think.
Lila, that's great. That's a really good start. Thank you very much, Lila.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
That was Tony G speaking with Lila as part of the Respect Festival. This has been a Totnes Pulse production. Thank you for listening.